You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. This is David Baer, and I am so pleased to welcome Michelle Medilek today. Michelle is a marketer very much in line with a lot of what we talk about on this show. Strategy first. You probably have heard that phrase out of my mouth a few dozen times. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm enjoying. It's going to be awesome.
So you are a marketer. You're also a fellow podcaster, and we'll dive into that a little bit as well. But one of the things that is at the core of what I like to talk about here on this program is the importance of a strategic approach to business development, to revenue generation. And we use the term marketing because everybody sort of thinks they know what that means, but it's a lot broader than that. And I wonder if you want to take a quick moment to talk about the work that you specialize in as it pertains to strategy, marketing, and ultimately what I think most businesses care about, which is the ability to drive revenues so that they can actually stay in business.
Absolutely. I would love to, and happy to take the conversation anywhere you want to go with that. But to me, strategy is one of the key components to a good business. Oftentimes I see entrepreneurs, especially sometimes even into the bigger businesses, the seed levels, going through and finding out who's marketing what and paying attention to who is most appealing in the marketing world. And in the world of marketing, that's a dangerous place to go because sometimes we're really good at it, even if our products, we don't stand up to it. So you get a lot of people that that have the marketing savvy, but they don't necessarily have the components behind to be able to back what they're saying. And if a company sits down and brainstorms through their strategy first, then they have a clearer path as to what they need to do. They have a mechanism with which to make decisions, especially key component ones to their business. And they're not leaving strategic decisions as to where, what products they're using, what services they're using, things like that, to the people that are going to be using them. That is often another mistake that I find people doing. It's like, hey, this sounds really good. Let's talk to Mary because she's the one that's going to be using it. That is a terrible business decision to make, always and every time. So if we back up the bus a bit, start with the strategy and look at any size business and say, okay, what we need to do here is start asking more questions and getting more information than we are spending dollars to solve problems. Because oftentimes with those modalities, people are spending a lot of money to try and solve their problems, but they haven't figured out why they need it, where they need it, what the most effective use of their time would be, and so many other problems that just diversifies and liquefies their time and energy and their resources and doesn't help build their main component, which is the profitability of their business, not even just the revenue.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack there. I've never really thought about the fact that a lot of businesses will delegate the decision to the person on staff who deals with that to the extent that you've just outlined. And now that I think about that, I probably see that a lot in the professional services space where, you know, there's somebody who is an expert at delivering whatever the service might be, at the financial planning, legal advice, you know, whatever. And there's the support staff that deal with the functions and operations around the business. And to a certain extent, you and I are immersed in this marketing world where we see this stuff and take for granted. We were just talking before we hit record about an annoyance that we both have observed of links being, you know, shared last minute right before an online meeting is to occur. And we're both thinking, well, that's silly. That can be automated by software that's out there. And it's surprising that even though so many businesses out there have embraced.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
Technology to support all of the growth opportunities that they have. But there's really a huge number of businesses that don't really recognize or aren't aware of the opportunities that exist and how they can dial in, achieve the goals, you know, all the things that we know inherently they have the opportunity to do. So there's a question in here somewhere, which is, you know, in this vast landscape, you likely see the same sort of businesses that we tend to see coming to you asking for help, guidance, and they're often fixated on a specific thing, a solution. I saw, you know, that my nephew told me that I should be on TikTok. Can you help me with that? That sort of silly question. So I'm curious, A, do you get those types of questions? And B, where do you take those questions and redirect them into what you were just talking about?
That happens all the time. And I think it's also part of a more naive conversation with a lot of entrepreneurs that if they haven't been in business a couple of times and fallen on their faces, which I think is kind of a rite of passage, when deserving, that people are still into tactics before strategy. It's like, I just need to do this TikTok thing because my nephew said so. And don't get me wrong, I mean, it doesn't matter what platform it was. The same thing happened with Facebook, the same thing happened with LinkedIn, the same thing is happening with YouTube. It'll always happen because it's the nature of the beast. Until a business owner realizes that there is this primary element of what a business is and that all businesses have to fit within this parameters, and then you work your way from there. So and it's as simple as we need a product. It has to have profitability. We need to sell it to somebody. That's not that difficult. But what that requires in order to be able to create that structure that works long term, then you have to start with the strategy. Most entrepreneurs go, I don't like my boss. They suck. I got a buyout. I can go in and buy a franchise. I can go in and start my own company. I can do this my own because I've, you know, done it for somebody else. And what they don't understand is that that's not true. That there is an entrepreneurial state of mind that has to be nurtured and acquired and tendered, and all sorts of fun and wonderful things have to happen in order to become quote unquote successful at a business. And it's okay. And it has to happen. So when people are looking for kind of this thing that's going to solve their business problems, they're not usually looking at strategies for starters, they're looking at those tactics. The other thing that was in there that you mentioned was business owners when they're, we had a company once that was wasn't a professional services company. It was actually an association. It was a huge association, North American wide. And they had silos of data. So they were paying people to manually input their data from one system to another. And it can happen as simplistically as from QuickBooks to your CRM, right? Somehow those two have to be able to integrate. And pros or cons, it has never been easier to be able to have digital applications to your business. It's never been easier to go into business and get a national following. At the same time, you need to know more about IT than we've ever had to know before. If you look back about 10 years ago, right, even the concept of a CRM was, you know, a $100,000 piece of software that only certain companies could afford the luxury of having. Everybody else got to use Excel spreadsheets in their cell phones. So it was once, you know, companies like Keep or what used to be Infusionsoft came along and made software like this accessible to the general population. And then we start to get all these little piggybackers that go, oh, we can make this aspect of this software simpler. We can make this aspect of it simpler. And now people are stuck in this, you know, vast forest of software going, you know, I don't even know what acronyms you're using. I don't know what you're talking about. Why would I spend 2 hours trying to figure that out? Yeah. And they don't realize how much it impacts their resources, time, their profitability, increasing their expenses. It just doesn't make sense to them, and they just want a simple solution to be able to solve that problem. And unfortunately, that means that they have to find somebody like you or my partner, Brad, that are smart and savvy and understand the tech and can go, oh, that's what you will want to accomplish. Okay, well, actually, you'd be better off using this, that, or the other system. That was a really long answer to your first question.
and you know, I should add to what you've just said that you know, if business owners are overwhelmed by all of these different directions and things, you should also know that those of us in the marketing space are constantly being barraged with more and more tools to help the businesses we support. And it can be incredibly confusing. So figuring out sort of where you want to go in the first place, what you're trying to accomplish is probably a good idea so that you don't get lost in the weeds of all of these tactics or tools first, and then try to figure out, is this even relevant to, you know, to my business?
Well, exactly. And it can be something as simple as Canva, right? So they come out with this super simple software to be able to just make really nice pictures for social media, for promoting products and services, which is fantastic. And then as more and more people are getting onto that system, it's becoming more and more complicated because people want more and more attributes to the software. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a funny conundrum in that, you know, somebody else will now come out and make one that's simplistic again, yeah, because we just want it quick and easy. But at the same time, we really want the robustness that comes along with something once we understand it. And I guess the question becomes, how do we just jump to the end game of understanding it and then make a decision from there instead of going, oh, this is easy and this is quick, I'll use this.
Okay. So I want to go back to the question I was asking earlier about when a business comes to you and they're mm-hmm. fixated on whatever they happen to be fixated on. And yep. You've brought up a bunch of things that I've heard businesses ask me about. How do you guide them through, okay, great question, but first, what comes mm-hmm. after that?
More often than not, it's what is the purpose of this business? So sometimes the purpose of the business is to create a lifestyle business. They just want to be able to, you know, go to the beach. They just want to be able to have more time off to go watch your kid's soccer game or whatever it might be. And sometimes if that's the answer, then there are a lot more simplistic ways to make money than adding complexities to a business. So my goal is to hone them in on what's really important in the business and what up until now has become busy time. When we start talking about something that's already, let's call it bigger, you already have, say, a dozen staff, you already have 50 staff. Obviously, it's not a lifestyle business, but they still have their own growing pains in that they've still started doing things to keep busy as opposed to what's the main products and services that can keep them in line. For example, if you look at, you know, Apple, once upon a time with Steve Jobs, when they were looking at, okay, we have these 100 products in our products and services line. And he says, no, we're going to take it down to one. And they're like, we're going to what? Pardon me, one, right? They are employing hundreds of people, engineers, really smart guys making a lot of money, trying to figure out the better way to make a widget. And he says, we're going to go down to one because that's where the profitability is. It's a huge decision to make as a business owner. And a lot of times we get into the weeds of, but we've always done it this way. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be working. It's not really broken. And unfortunately, it is broken if your profitability isn't there. And if the main goal of why are we doing this in the first place, and when it comes down to because we want to be number one in the IT industry, great, you're not going to do it by selling everything to everyone. And it especially doesn't work in the digital world. You need to know what that one thing is and what you're known for, and then open it up after that.
Okay, so you get an answer to this question. You sort of know what they're trying to accomplish, what they want to be after they've, you know, done the thing that they've come to you to do. You have a couple of additional steps before you can actually, you know, get to that goal, I imagine.
What?
How do you talk through and work through that with a business?
We take all of our clients through either blueprint or a roadmap, depending on the size of the company and the degree of the complexity. And the reason for that is because when somebody has certain divisions in their company, right, and they have a whole group of people that are working in each one of these areas, that adds a level of complexity to how are they going to operate, whether or not they can integrate, what kind of systems they need to be able to play with. And that can be, you know, a month-long project just to figure out, you know, where they're at, what they want to do, doing their SWOT analysis, their KPIs, what do they want to achieve. With a what I'm going to call a smaller company, yeah, maybe they're at a million to 5 million, that their systems can be easier to figure out what's going on with them. But it's basically, we want to know what's going right, what's not going right. What do you want to do more of? What do you want to do less of? What's getting in the way of making that happen? And what could potentially get in the way of making that happen? And those are pretty big thoughts that somebody has to put a lot of effort into. So it's not just as simple as, hey, let's sit down and see if we're a good fit and we'll do some work for you guys. It's having as much vested interest in the success of their company as they do, and being able to create that path for them that's going to be sustainable long-term and help them achieve what the goals are.
Okay, so there's obviously a lot involved there, and depending on their answers, depending on the complexity of the organization, there's a lot of consideration about the implications of every choice that they make, every idea that comes up. And so I can see how there's more complexity to this process than simply let's turn on some ads, let's, you know, add people to an email list and start, you know, driving traffic and making sales. But ultimately, really what you're talking about at the beginning of this process is that they want to achieve some kind of either growth in the sales numbers, level, dollar amount that they're bringing in, or whatever their local currency may be, and ultimately scaling or growing, whatever that goal might be. You've talked about a lot of stuff that isn't what the average business owner would think about as marketing, and that's why I, you know, mentioned this in the opening, is that, you know, marketing is only a label that that I think we use to talk about what is commonly understood between us and a business in terms of what they're trying to achieve. But you've really gone a lot deeper, and it sounds like there's organizational and operational adjustments, you know, other things that are in the mix there. Okay, so there is a question once again here, and I realize I'm sort of rambling.
Unpacking
today,
everything more, I give you, because yeah, I give you really big answers to
but here's
easy questions.
Here's the thing: I'm gonna guess that you didn't start by understanding marketing as all of these things, right? That there had to have been a point where you realized, oh, there's more to it that I can bring to the support, you know, that I'm providing businesses. And I'm curious where that may have come from.
Absolutely. So I think it was about 2015 or so so I was doing public speaking, and I spoke about the mind and how it works and how we create our results. And the concept of personal development is just too vast. It doesn't translate online. So like I was saying earlier, if you're selling everything to everybody, it doesn't work. You have to figure out what that one thing is. So as we were trying to kind of narrow down which direction we wanted to go with it, I noticed that in all the masterminds that we were in, that people were having the same issues over and over again. It's, I'm really good at my content, I know my stuff, and this whole tech thing is just a ginormous headache that I don't want to deal with. And we just wanted to save people from a bunch of brain aneurysms, because my partner in business and pleasure, as we like to say, he's a real brainiac, and he loves, loves, loves the idea of building software out of being able to help people to create the systems that they need in order to be able to solve the business solutions that they have. And it occurred to me that, like, hey, why don't we just go into it done for you? Because I can market it and you can deliver on it and run the tech side of things. So I kind of morphed into this CMO position, or chief marketing officer to be able to look at the whole strategy, the whole business plan. How does it work out? Is your branding on tap? Are your colors on tap? Is your font on tap? Do you understand kind of where this all came from and why it's working the way it does? Because at a certain point in your business, that becomes important. Initially, not so much. You know, you could put up a little happy face, call out your logo, and you're good to go. People recognize it. But after a while, you might outgrow that. And you want to know how people feel about your business when they see your colors, when they see your images, when they're hearing your messages, all that kind of fun jazz. And then Brad takes care of the whole tech side of things, of basically your CIO for a small business, and being able to look at all of your IT constraints and figuring out the best path of least resistance to build your business. So together, fractionally, we can bring a lot of services to the table that people just wouldn't have access to otherwise.
And, you know, you're talking a bit about sort of a very traditional automation tool that you've been able to utilize and apply to, or set of tools, I should say, lots of different businesses from, you had mentioned, you know, smaller businesses that are in the maybe million to 5 million space, but up to, you know, 20 million or so. And obviously there's a cutoff point at which the complexity and the needs for an organization, I imagine, get a little too big for the type of stuff that you're interested in focusing on.
Yeah, absolutely. So companies that have over 100 employees, or they're over over $20 million a year, those are, our sweet spot is in kind of that less than area. Yeah. Those are the ones we love to deal with because they tend to be able to make decisions quicker. They tend to be able to be focused on the results as opposed to the processes that they have in place. Companies, once they get over 20 million, is really about processes and orientation and, you know, the corporate thing that, you know, just, we could do it, but it's not my idea of a good time. I absolutely love and adore working with people that are trying to figure out their business and just getting that one piece, and all of a sudden they can run with it. And it's like, yay, that's just fun and the satisfaction there. I get my endorphins.
And it makes sense. You have an approach that you teach and you work through with the clients, which, you know, starts with strategy, but then you also focus on creating or supporting systems, on the support of the business itself. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what that entails. And then most importantly, for the types of entrepreneurs that you tend to work with, state of mind is you know, this other component that I think plays a critical role in something where, you know, people who are in business and identify with the business also have to figure out how do they balance, you know, everything, you know, about their beings with what they're doing, you know, on the business front. So can you talk a little bit about those components?
Absolutely. And when it comes to, well, let's just kind of back up the bus a bit. When we started putting our transition together, when I was talking about in 2015, we had done what all entrepreneurs do. And we go, oh, this is a problem. I'm going to put software in place. Oh, this is a problem. I'm going to put the software in place. And we built up what I love to call Frankenware. And I had a love-hate relationship with poor Frank, because every time somebody had an update or something like that, you know, he'd lose a limb, he'd lose an eye. And I just go like, I can't handle this anymore. Brad found Infusionsoft at that time. And he goes, I just want to try this and see what it works. I'm like, dude, you do whatever you want. I couldn't care less. You make it work. I am good with it. And I think that's the attitude that a lot of businesses have, is that they just want somebody that understands the complexity of what's going on and can make it simple. So that when I say I need a landing page, it really means, you know, and I need the promotional emails, and I need a confirmation, and I need a form, and I need, so what are you going to take off my plate? And with that comes a different state of mind of being able to delegate without abdicating, which at that state of growth and systemizing becomes paramount. Because let's back up the bus a little bit. When somebody starts with their business, that business is their baby. They have taken their 9-12 months to incubate the thoughts of, oh, I think this is a good idea. I think I could do this. Yes, this is what I want to go out and create. And they go out and create it, and they're trying to figure out what works and trying to keep it alive and trying to do their best parenting this new business. And they become really emotionally involved with it. And nobody can do it better than I do. And I'm babysitting my staff and I have to, you know, do all of these things. And all of those limiting beliefs really do get in the way of them being able to delegate without abdicating. And what I mean by that is to be able to know that you're giving somebody competent the work requirements that they need to do, that you're knowing what the end goal is for them and how they're going to some degree, achieve that. And that you're having this intelligent conversation going back and forth of what do you need from me? Okay, I can get up to you by such and such time. Does that work for you? What are our deadlines? And you're having really logic-based conversations. Before that happens, they're very much emotionally charged conversations of, I just need this done. I want it done now. How do I get this done? And being able to help somebody to kind of grow into that kind of your business is now a teenager and it's time to let them out into the world and somebody else can take care of them and it's okay. And you'll be just fine.
And so it takes a certain type of marketer clearly to work with and support a business or a business owner that's in that state that you've just described. And and I imagine that a lot of the technician focused, you know, technically focused, outcome focused, not in terms of outcome of the project, but outcome in terms of the product, right? The marketing campaign, the ads, the visual look, that's not who a lot of these types of entrepreneurs really need. They need the hand holding, the guidance, the emotional support to shift their business. And it sounds like that's what you and Brad have been able to build through your you know individual expertise to support both of those ends of things.
Absolutely. We want to partner with our clients to help them to build their business, to help them build their wherewithal, to be able to succeed in growing a business that they can either, you know, spend more time on the beach and have the company run without them, or to sell it, or to, you know, be able to have an exit strategy and start up another company. When people get what creates their success, then they can turn around and create further successes. And it is an absolute blast to watch and it's a blast to be a part of. And I think that's why we want to be there with them, holding their hands, helping them get through those stages, because they tend to be a lot of fun to go and globetrot around the world with. And that's where we want to be.
So that's an intriguing statement that you just made at the end there, because I'm sort of curious, you know, having worked with lots of different types of businesses, and I know some of the folks who you know you work with, you have access to a range of different industries, right? You're not working in one particular area of the business world. And obviously in non-pandemic times, you have the ability to literally globetrot around the world. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. Yes, the pandemic, as entertaining as it was great for us because, you know, people had to go online so they had to get their businesses up and they had to get them up now. And so that was just a lot of fun for us in helping people to achieve more in a lesser period of time than they thought they ever could. And we're very excited to be able to go back to kind of our clientele before the pandemic, whereby we did globetrot with them. We would, you know, they would have courses or retreats or things like that. And we would meet them halfway around the world and go, you know, we can do this from anywhere. So we may as well do it from, you know, nice warm locations, wherever you're at, and we'll go and solve problems there. And when we have clients, because we have clients all over North America, and we've had them from Sydney to Brussels, and as far down as Ecuador, it's just a lot of fun to be able to go and travel and go and actually meet our clients face to face when all of work we can do is virtual.
Yeah. I mean, there's something that's pretty darn cool about the fact that, well, the pandemic, I think, aided us in accelerating the international access that, you know, those of us who had Zoom accounts, you know, back in 2013, 2012, something like that. I think I looked back and that's when I first, you know, set up my first free Zoom account and actually used it well before 2020. We're aware of this, but the whole world is now. And that means that you and your services, while you may be physically located, you know, in Alberta and Canada, that you can work with people regardless of where they're located in the world, as long as they have an internet access.
Exactly. So even though in Brisk, Canada, and yeah. Everybody goes, why do you live up there when you can live anywhere? I said, because it's cold and it keeps me in my office, so I'm okay.
Excellent. Well, it is pretty pretty gorgeous where you live as well. So that's not a bad thing either. So I want to maybe talk for a moment or two about your business, Awareness Strategies, what you do there, the types of businesses you support, and where people can find you if they want to learn a little bit more about how to engage you or learn more from you.
Absolutely. I would love to connect. So Michelle Nedelec, anything, if it's in English, it's me. If it's in French, it's one of my 5 aliases. And Awareness Strategies, we have a ton of assets and we're growing our assets all the time. So if people are interested in figuring out how their websites are working, if they're keeping up to snuff, what their marketing stack is like, what their tech stack's like, we have assessments and surveys and all sorts of fun quizzes that they can take that'll give them back robust reports of, here's a few things you could tweak that might be stopping you from getting the results that you're looking to do. Because there is a predictability to business in each one of those areas, that if those components are in place, then they can see it. So if they have somebody to give those reports to, that's awesome. If they just want to read themselves and implement themselves to whatever extent they can, that's great. And at the end of all of them, they can have a discovery call with me where we can go through and I will actually help them with their strategy and help them build. Because it's not, to me, it's not about, you know, you have to work with us. It's more about, how do I help as many people become independent in their businesses as possible? And if we happen to be a great fit, awesome, fantastic. But that's not my primary concern. My primary concern is making sure that you get what you need in order to build your business.
And, you know, we're about to share the website address, but I will say that anybody who's listening ought to go there simply to look at the way that you present the website audit, assessment, business essentials assessment. I went through that and I saw the way that you ask questions, the way that you will help somebody think through what is actually happening in their business. It's a great way to sort of think about, hey, is this something that I can emulate in my business in the way that I am sort of pre-framing the next steps in the relationship. You do it a really good job of it on the site. And so I would recommend people visit it just for that purpose.
Awesome. Thank you. Love that.
Well, we should tell people that they can find all of this information and also get in touch with you at awarenessstrategies.com. That's plural.com. Of course, that'll be in the show notes, along with the ability to reach out to you on LinkedIn and elsewhere. Excellent. So anything that you want to add before we wrap things up?
What I would like to say is, regardless of where you are in business, whether you're still in that entrepreneurial stage, thinking that you might be able to exit and get out there if you're already running it, or if you've created an empire and you're a serial entrepreneur wanting to make things easier, just understand that I personally think that is the bravest thing that anybody can do, is to become an entrepreneur and to learn what they have internally in order to be able to express themselves as an entrepreneur. I think it's fantastic and amazing. My kudos to you. And if you're not at the point where you have the support that you need, absolutely join communities like David's in order to be able to know that you're not completely crazy off your rocker. You're just looking for something bigger and better and more awesome. And we congratulate you.
Well, that's awesome advice. I think we're seeing so many people in the world who are flirting with or jumping to entrepreneurship at a greater and greater rate. So I know that there's lots of folks out there who, if they follow the path and listen to voices like yours who can guide them in the right direction, they have the opportunity for much greater success. So Michelle Nedelec, thank you so very, very much for hanging out. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, David. I had a lot of fun.
Indeed. Folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. Thanks for hanging out with us. And if you know somebody who could benefit from listening to this, perhaps a budding entrepreneur that you know in your world, please pass along this episode to them. Until next time, this is More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.